Hello and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I'm Sarah.
And on today's episode, Sarah's going to tell us about her fun that she just had at work. I don't really know what she was doing, but she just did something at work. We were supposed to watch Paris is Burning, but that did not happen for me because I just remembered.
I remembered on the way home.
I remembered as I was watching Medium and I was like, oh shit, there's not enough time for me to watch it. So yeah. That's not going to happen, unfortunately.
I work for a physical therapy place.
She says, let's get physical.
Let's get physical, physical. So we are also like a teaching program as well, so that students who are studying to be physical therapists can work in an actual physical therapy place to get their hours, and then they do a final. So one of my upper management people had sent out an email asking for volunteers, paid volunteers.
It's not volunteers.
Well, the pay is the incentive to volunteer. To basically be a model for the student to demonstrate with. Like, demonstrate what they've learned. So, that's what I did. I got to be moved around and told what to do for an hour and a half for $25 an hour.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
So, and actually, I was thinking about it. I might actually also get mileage pay for that. I have to double check, though.
Very cool. Well, I have, I just went and got my hair cut today, so my hair looks all nice and cut.
It looks fantastic. Fresh. My hair looks like shit.
Other than that, I haven't really been doing anything. I just got back on Tuesday. Well, Monday. I got back on Monday. First day to work was on Wednesday, so I took Tuesday off to do nothing.
Valid.
And I've just been kind of hanging out around the house, getting back into work and doing things, getting things started back up.
Woot woot.
This week for school is actually kind of light. I say that it's light. I have to do a literature review for my chapter two. Oh, shoot. It's chapter two of my dissertation. So the first chapter was like an introduction to what the dissertation is going to be. The second chapter is the literature review, or literary review, I guess is what it's called technically, where you have to find sources that kind of back up or reinforce what you're reviewing and what you're researching. So I'm reading through like 20 different sources for, video and visual aids for training and learning.
Okay. All right.
So mainly like articles or research papers that other students have done on visual aids and the learning process and all that jazz. So fun. I hate reading, so that's a big thing.
Yeah. I simultaneously miss school and don't miss school.
Yeah.
Cause like remembering all the papers, ugh. But, you know.
Yeah, writing papers are kind of annoying. I really hate writing papers, but I'd rather do an assignment or something that can kind of demonstrate I know what I'm talking about than having to take quizzes and tests. Because to me, and I think we've talked about it several times on here before, I don't think tests actually do what they intend to do. They just measure how good people are at retaining information, but not actually understanding the information.
Right.
Because I can memorize everything, but then if I don't utilize it and actually put it to use,
yeah,
then there's no point in it. Yeah. So like, unless I can actually show you how it can be applied and discuss like the applications of the information that we discussed, then it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I get that. I agree. I don't have a lot going on. I am.
And I guess it's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah. Like, I cleaned my room this morning and.
Thank God.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea what your room looked like. I could just assume because I lived with you.
So I cleaned under my bed though, specifically.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, all right, it's dusty under there. I should probably clean this up. So I did that. I did some laundry, which I'm going to continue doing laundry, for the foreseeable future. And then I had my thing for work. And now I'm here with you. And then after that, I'm hoping I'm going to have enough time to take a nap before I go to this housewarming party that I agreed to go to. Why did I agree to go to a housewarming party? I don't know, but I agreed to it. So now I have to make at least an appearance.
Yeah, I mean, do you have to? I mean, you could say, like, walk in, say hello, and then just do an Irish exit and just leave.
I mean, I could. I'm already planning on being a little fashionably late.
Yeah.
But also, I'm like, man, I should really find something to give as a housewarming present. But I don't know what to give. So I'm just like, okay. All right.
So I do have something to talk to you about. It's a few of the emails that we've gotten recently.
Oh.
And I think some of them, especially this first one that I'm looking at, I don't think they understand who they're reaching out to. Because just looking at some of the information on their website... This first person seems like a very Republican person. So they obviously don't know who they're reaching out to. And the fact that they included an interview that someone did on Newsmax.
I don't know what that is.
It's a very far right news, and I'm using that very loosely, website. It says unbiased, but like all of the information that they include on their website is specifically about how Republicans can learn better, and yeah, it's a far right group. So we'll not be responding to this person because like so they asked or they reached out and they just said, I've been following Now About That with James and Sarah, and I really appreciate how you bring fresh perspectives to the conversations that matter most. The way you connect with your audience and tackle important topics is truly inspiring, and I'd love the chance to be part of that energy. As the founder and CEO of Grand Opportunity USA, Go USA, and the creator of the OpSource, the first of its kind political credit rating system, I'm passionate about empowering everyday Americans with tools to hold leaders accountable. The OpSource reached over 1 million voters in 2024 and moved 85% of them to choose America First Republicans. Obviously. It's been a game-changing way to bring transparency and accountability to politics while uniting people around common sense values. My background also brings some unique angles. So this person doesn't know who they're reaching out to. So I'm going to respond to them and be like, don't think you know who you're reaching out to, because if you've listened to any of our podcast episodes, you would realize that neither of us are have anything in common with America First Republicans.
Yeah, no. In fact, I would say we have less in common with America First Republicans than like the moon has to an orange. Like, yeah. we're people. That's literally all we have in common.
Yeah. And then the next one, I haven't really looked into it or anything, but it is, it says podcast idea, advocating for special needs families. So, I mean, this one might, yeah. I haven't really, like I said, I haven't really looked into it, and they didn't really include any links or anything from their website, to their website or anything like that. So that's kind of where it's a little weird. But it said, hi, James and Sarah, your podcast Now About That with James and Sarah truly resonates with me. And I believe our founder, Michael Peria, I'm sure I'm saying that name, P-E-R-E-I-R-A.
Okay.
Has a story that would bring tremendous value to your audience. When his son was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, Michael's world shifted entirely. He left his corporate career to focus on empowering families like his own by raising awareness and providing practical strategies to help them plan and thrive. Michael's journey perfectly aligns with the themes you explore, balancing growth, resilience, and raising neurodiverse children. Would you be open to a quick chat via Zoom next week to explore this further? Warm regards, client specialist, the Autism Voyage blog. Melody. She didn't put her name, or they didn't put their name in the signature. I feel like they forgot that part.
Okay.
So it's probably another fake email.
I'm always suspicious of parents who immediately start profiting off of their child's disability. Like, and immediately, you know, oh, this is a huge life-altering thing for me. And it's just like, it's not that life-altering. All you do is, you know, adjust to what your child needs, which you would do in every other situation. So I don't understand why it's such a big deal, especially with autism being as common as it actually is. I don't feel like a big dramatic changed his life. It's not that life altering. It's life altering for the person who grew up thinking that they weren't autistic and then finding out that they are, because that completely changes everything about how you thought about everything. Like, which we would understand because our friend went through that, is going through that.
Yeah.
Like, but for a parent to say that it was life altering for them, that their child was diagnosed with autism, just really rubs me the wrong way. In like all the wrong ways.
Ew. They have a blog called Autrepreneur.
Autrepreneur?
Yeah.
Gross. No. No, thank you. Like, yes, absolutely. We should talk about special disabilities and like special needs people and like differently abled people or whatever, you know, term that you prefer. But I absolutely 110% would never support somebody who uses entrepreneur. Because literally they're just trying to make money off of their child's disability, which is gross.
I mean, so when I say blog, when I look at it, it's got information about finding jobs for individuals with learning disabilities, 6 steps to become a registered behavior technician. Top 5 awesome side hustles for special needs households.
It's just not. It's not great.
Yeah.
Regardless.
I don't really know. Like I said, I haven't really looked into this one. Obviously, the other one, it's not going to happen because. And I'm going to respond and say, hey, by the way.
Hey, by the way, we hate Republicans.
I think you reached out to the wrong group for this request. And this will never happen because we can include Republicans in the conversation, but.
Right. But they have to be approaching in good faith. In good faith.
Yeah. And if you're saying your goal and your like whole reason for doing what you're doing is to get people to choose America First Republicans. Most America First Republicans are insane and shouldn't have a platform to begin with because they're crazy and don't know what they're talking about most of the time.
And they don't actually care about America First. They just care about money. So like, let's talk about that for a second. Like these America First Republicans actually don't give two fucks about America, because if they did, they would be fighting for the Constitution, as they should be, right? They would be fighting for freedom for everyone, because that's literally what America is supposed to stand for. Like, America First, psh, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Hold it. Disgusting. Disgusting. Anywho. Is that all the mail that we got?
Yeah, so far. So nothing incredibly fun. I mean, it's been busier. Like, we've been getting more emails.
That's true. We have. I'm not complaining.
We did get one from, I don't really know, Pod SEO. And it gives a breakdown of like rankings, where we rank in specific keywords. So for grammar lessons, we're ranked number 63.
Okay.
For creepy content and hilariously relatable, we're ranked 96. For Spotify ranking, so that was an Apple Podcast Spotify ranking. For Spotify ranking, local needs is we're ranked 165, and then current happenings 191. Don't really know where they got that information or how they're pulling it, but hey, whatever.
It's probably AI.
More than likely, yeah.
And it's bad AI because, as I sent in our group chat about how AI is literally trashing the internet and how now, at this point, a lot of the most accurate information has to be older than 2022, which in like technology and in like the medical field, 2022 is obsolete.
I think it depends on how you review the content that you're looking for. Because if you just do like a Google search and go off of what like the AI gives you as like a, this is the breakdown, but you don't actually look at that content, then yes, I think I agree with what you're saying. But if you're looking at the source and seeing like what the source is saying about the content and making sure that what they're saying is relevant and understandable and makes sense, then I don't think AI plays a big role in that. I didn't read what you sent because I have this thing.
I literally know you didn't read what I said.
I do have an issue with the stuff that you guys send sometimes because I'm like, I don't have time to look at this. And because you send a lot of videos and a lot of stuff, and I'm like, I don't have time to look at this.
You do have time. You just choose not to watch it during the time that you would have time.
That's true.
Like, that's, let's be real here. You have time. You just choose not to when you have the time. But yes, I'm aware. I'm aware that this is a thing that you do. So.
Well, the other thing is, you guys send a bunch of stuff all at once. And I'm like, I'm super busy when you do send it. And then by the time I remember to look at it, I'm like, we've moved on. So it doesn't really matter anyways anymore.
It does, though. Like, we would still value your input. Like, that's why it's in the chat for everyone, is so that we
Also,
could get your input.
I'm also confused why we have two different options. There's the general, and then there's
Good times with
good
friends.
times with friends, yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know how we got to good times with friends, because
I think
I keep.
originally that was the intent.
I don't know. I think now we have a tendency to put all the lighter topics, like fun pictures and things like that, in good times with friends.
Yeah.
And then we save like more serious stuff for the general chat. I don't know. It's our Discord channel. We do what we want.
I wish it told me who actually created it, because I don't
I don't
remember
know.
creating both of these channels.
Like, I remember General being there because I think that's a default.
Yeah.
And I
And
know
then,
you made now about that.
yeah.
But I don't know about the good time with friends. I thought that you made it.
I don't know, maybe I did, but I don't remember it.
So if you didn't make it and I didn't make it, that means Sam made it. Like, the good news is there's only three of us. The three musketeers, the three amigos.
Psychopaths.
True.
Well, two and me.
Ouch. No, I think you also are capable of psychopathy. Oh my God. Speaking of psychopathy, do you want to know what I found recently that I had forgotten all about?
Sure.
I
I mean, if not,
found.
that's going to be a very weird cliffhanger that we leave our five people that are listening.
Our five people that are listening. So, I found this script for Saltburn.
Okay.
For those who don't remember or weren't here for that, I went through a very intense obsession with Saltburn to the point that I bought the screenplay to have it in book form forever.
Yeah, Sarah has an obsessive personality.
Yes, I do. Thank you for noticing. I do unfortunately have an obsessive personality. I do tend to get hooked on things.
Phonics?
Huh?
You said hooked on, and I said phonics.
Yes, that as well. Like, I mean, that is my major downfall in the end, is that I learned how to read. I learned how to read, and now that's all I want to do. And then there are days that I cannot do, and then that's upsetting.
Well, have you done anything fun for Pride? Since this is the la this will be coming out on the last day of Pride Month.
I have not, actually. The big Pride festival that usually happens here is in August.
I know. I was looking while I was back in Indiana. I was like, well, maybe I'll go to Spencer Pride, and then I realized it's in October.
Yeah.
They have the Pride Festival in October, so it wouldn't like I, there was nothing. I could have gone to Indie Pride, but I think it was happening when I was driving,
Right.
so it was
And like
over by the time I got there.
the last time I tried to go to Indie Pride, it was happening in August as well. So like I have noticed, and like I get it. The reason that a lot of places do that is specifically for when the college students come back.
Yeah.
Because like Austin is a college town, it would make more sense to have Pride events when the students are all back.
That does make more sense, yeah.
But it gets a little frustrating for those of us who don't want to be in ridiculous traffic because of the students.
Yeah. I mean, aren't you gonna be, you'll already be in ridiculous traffic because of students anyway.
Yeah, but it's worse when it's Pride.
Yeah, that's true. I will say I did just send you some new business cards to the correct address, I'm hoping. The one that you sent to me in the chat.
Yes.
The most recent one.
Yes.
What was it? What is it? Like something circuit.
Twin Rivers.
Twin Rivers, yeah. Is that what it is?
Two Rivers, my bad.
Yes. Austin. It's in Austin, right? You live in Austin now. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You also put ATX, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck that means. Does that mean Austin?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, this bitch just assumes I know what that means. And then I was like, I think it's obviously Austin, Texas. So
yes.
If you live in Austin now and not Red Rock, is that where it was last time?
Round Rock.
Round Rock. Then I sent it to the right address this time.
Woot woot.
So yes. You'll be seeing those. I ordered different ones. So they're different. Let me actually go grab one. I'll be right back. Talk to the people.
Oh, I'm talking to the people. I don't know if the people want to hear me talk because I have a tendency to go off on random tangents about random ass shit. And I have a lot of intense opinions that tend to be off-putting for some people. But you know, honestly, it's because I've spent so much time not owning up to my opinions that that's why I do it now. And he's back.
I agree. I don't know that I should actually do that because sometimes some of the things you say are very questionable. And I don't 100% agree with everything you say sometimes. Sometimes it's like...
It's so funny that that's how you responded. And I can't wait for you to listen to it. And
so this is the new one.
Oh my God. I love it.
And then on the back, it just has a QR code that takes them to our website.
I'm going to pass those out everywhere.
So those will be coming. They'll probably arrive sometime next week because I just paid for regular shipping. So it's like 7 to 10 business days or something like that.
And that's fine. It's not like I'm going anywhere special coming up where I would be able to hand them out anyway.
And I think there's two boxes of 250 that you're getting. So you're getting 500.
Damn.
So you should have plenty to hand out.
Yeah.
So just throw those things like...
confetti.
Like you're raining money on a exotic dancer.
Yes. I'll save one of the boxes to take to Pride. And then do whatever with the other box. Just like pass it out. Here you go.
That works. Do you want to know something else that's kind of weird and stupid? I'm also getting emails to my work email asking me to be a part of, or asking if I would like them to be on my podcast or be included in our podcast or something like that. And it's like, it's not, my work email has nothing, it's not even associated with anything. So
how did, what?
I think they're getting it from my LinkedIn because it's all about like the LinkedIn portion of it.
Oh,
that makes sense. So that's what I'm assuming.
Oh my God. Speaking of podcasts. So I recently, this is so random, just fair warning. So I recently was thinking very hard about why we were so poor. Okay. Because my ex-stepfather, for those who maybe don't know, I don't know if we've talked about what our childhoods were like.
Yeah, I think we have a little bit.
But like, I grew up very food insecure and very, like, relatively poor. However, we were not poor. My stepfather made a lot of money and was just really, really bad with money. So we lived like we were poor. So I did a deep dive. I was just like, I picked a random year in the 90s right? And I went to go and like see what the average pay amount would have been for his line of work. No. You know? So he worked for General Electric, which no longer exists in Indiana. Actually, I think there's one plant left in Indiana, but anyway.
Yeah, but I think it's not like an actual like manufacturing facility. I think it's just like a head, like a business.
Yeah.
Facility. Like,
all the manufacturing GE manufacturing facilities moved out of the state of Indiana, at least to the best of my knowledge. Anyway. So, you know, I did this whole deep dive and then I was talking to my brother about it. Because obviously, who else am I going to talk to about it, like, other than the other person who was there? Yeah. So, we were talking about it, and then he says, oh, and by the way, did you know he moved to Wisconsin and has started a Christian podcast?
Ew.
And I was like, first of all, he did what? And like, secondly, who's he doing this? Who agreed to do this podcast with him? Because he is not intelligent enough to do it on his own.
Yeah. I will say it's not that difficult.
It doesn't matter. The man barely passed high school. Barely. Like, they gave him a pity diploma. Because he was doing so poorly in school. Like, this is not an intelligent man. We're talking about somebody who spent more money on, oh my God, on tools, tennis, and sex stuff. Yeah. Then his children. But anyway, I just thought it was really funny that he's now doing a Christian podcast and I'm just like, okay, all right, sure. I mean,
maybe we should ask him to come on our podcast and you can rip into him. Sarah confronts her
step asshole.
Sarah confronts their step. Step down. I don't know really.
Ex stepfather.
Sarah steps on her step, on their step. Oh, geez. I would say, like, that was one of the things that was interesting whenever I went back to Indiana and I like had my coffee chat and my spend a day with my aunt conversation. One of my aunts didn't realize that. Like my sister and my mom and all that, like the whole drugs with all them. And it's like, I don't really know why they didn't realize that. Like my sister used to be so smart. She used to be smarter, like the smartest one in the family. And it's really kind of disheartening how she kind of just, I don't know like what happened, like what triggered in her that, like what trauma she has in her brain, but she basically just kind of stopped after high school and like nothing. She was very smart. She graduated early in high school. She was like, she graduated early, like midterm, because she finished all of her classes and she got all of her grades and she was a straight A student. And then I don't know if she just started hanging out with the wrong people and crazy things happened that made her like brain switch the way that it did. And now it's just like, she barely functions outside of being in the house. And then I was telling one of my aunts about when I was 16, I had my broken leg and my mother was cooking methamphetamines in the kitchen. She was like, oh, I didn't know that. I was like, yeah, I had a broken leg laying on a couch and had my nostrils burning on the inside because of the smell of methamphetamines cooking in my kitchen.
I remember that time.
Like 40 feet away from me.
That was the first time in our friendship when we started talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, we only like really chatted at school. We never really called each other. It was always like.
And now you can't get me to call anyone on the phone for anything.
I know, right?
Having phone calls. I was bored, same. And I was like, I'm just gonna call people, and I started calling Sarah, and I think you were really the only person I was calling. And we just chatted regularly. I probably called Kristen. No, I don't think I knew Kristen back then. I didn't know Kristen then, because I didn't start hanging out with Kristen until I was in my senior or my junior year.
Yeah. Yep. And that was sophomore year.
Yeah. That was the summer of sophomore year going into junior year. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have been hanging out with Kristen yet. But yeah, I mean, it's weird how weird families are, and the fact that I was talking to my aunt. She was like, how it is strange how different you are from the rest of your, like the rest of the family. It's like, I know. And I don't really understand why. Cause like, I think in my brain, I saw like my dad was working at, he never worked at GE, but he worked at ABB, and then they went out of business and he worked at Otis Elevator. Mm-hmm. And he made relatively good money, but then Otis Elevator closed and he was out of a job for a long time. So he went back to school, and then he started working for the high school in Bloomington, and was there for a really long time too. And he didn't make the amount of money that he was making when he was working at Otis Elevator. And he wasn't like an engineer or anything crazy at Otis Elevator. He just had been there for a long time and had started working where like they knew who he was and knew how well he did and like what his work ethic was, and they would just ask him to do things. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess at one time he went down to Florida and was working with a product or a machine that they had purchased, and they asked him to give his opinion, and he said that it was garbage, and they were like, we've spent millions of dollars on this machine, you're going to tell us that it's garbage. So it was kind of like, oops. But it's funny because it's like, I saw like how I was raised and how we had to struggle for food and struggle for, we got evicted multiple times because my mom couldn't, she's terrible with money and she doesn't know how to budget or make sacrifices for things that she wanted so that we could live basically.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I was like, I don't want that for me. So to me, my brain is like, how I need to work and figure out how I can get away from this and get out of those types of things so that I don't have to deal with that when I'm older. And then the other thing, I was watching TikTok the other day and someone posted video clips of Ever After. And I'm like, I love that movie. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. It's Ever After, a Cinderella story with Drew Barrymore. And I was like, I remember getting that movie. I think we've talked about it on here, where I was at, I think it was ABB or Otis Elevator. We were at a Christmas thing for my dad's, for my dad. And I opened it and I was really excited. And they were like, oh, we'll switch that out for you. That's supposed to be a girl's gift. And I was like, no, this is my gift.
Yeah.
This is mine. I will take this. This will be mine forever. Yeah. And it was. I mean, it was a VHS tape, so I don't have it anymore, obviously.
Right. But
I do still have the movie, and I have it on Blu-ray now, and I love it. It's one of my, like I said, it's one of my all-time favorite movies. I just love the conversation, the costumes that are included and everything like that. Costumes.
Yeah.
Did you see that Anna Wintour is stepping down as editor-in-chief of Vogue?
I did not.
It was just, I think, yesterday or Thursday.
Dang.
It was released that she's stepping down as editor-in-chief. She's still going to be working at Vogue as chief content editor and global content editor or something like that. So she still has like say in what happens at Vogue, but she's no longer like in charge of putting together the magazine and editing it and everything like that. Okay. So she still has a say in it. I'm sure the reason is it's so that she doesn't have to work as much, and she probably still is making, she is probably making actually more money now.
Probably.
As this new role, instead of having to work as much as she had to. But it's gonna be interesting to see how Vogue changes with her no longer as editor-in-chief. Because it's been...
How long was she editor-in-chief?
1988 was her first year as editor-in-chief of Vogue.
So she's been editor-in-chief of Vogue...
Since you've been alive.
Since I've been alive.
Yeah.
Which means 36 years. Because I'm turning 37 in September.
I think she started in the beginning of 88. So she's 37 years, yeah.
So she's already 37 years.
Yeah.
Damn.
And it's funny, I was watching this thing and it's like the very first cover that she did. And like the biggest thing that like changed with Vogue from her taking over is the way that they, like the way that Vogue looked. And the who was included in the Vogue, who was included in the magazine. And it went from being exclusively models to models and celebrities. And instead of being like specifically about like close up on models and with like nothing crazy going on in the background, to now you're having like celebrities being shot in Rome. Mm-hmm. And like you're seeing all this, like what these grand, elaborate photo shoots that are like multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars to shoot, including the clothes. But the very first cover of Vogue is, I think it was still a model. And she was wearing a cardigan, but then on the front of the cardigan, they put a Christian Lacroix like embellishment that was, I'm gonna say it was like $25,000 for this giant gold embellishment that looked so gaudy and garbage. And then she was just wearing $40 Gap jeans. Like that's the whole thing around it. Like it went from like this glamorous like close up of this model wearing these like insane avant-garde clothes to just this regular model wearing a shirt and jeans, and then there just so happened to be a like $25,000 embellishment on the front of it.
Dang.
It was interesting, and it's funny because I've been recently watching a bunch of stuff about Anna Wintour, and then all of this happened. I literally like over the last couple of weeks have watched a few different documentaries about Vogue and Anna Wintour and the changes that she made, and it's funny. And I love the September issue, which is a documentary about their September issue, which is their largest issue throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Because it's talking about the changing of fashion and the changing of seasons and what's coming up for fall and then into spring. So it's their biggest issue.
Cool.
Well.
No.
What else are you up to this weekend?
What was that?
That was my cup sliding on my desk.
Oh. Not a whole lot. Like, today's been pretty busy because, like I said, I'm going to make an appearance at a party tonight. But tomorrow, I'm basically just chilling. My brother and I are going to watch some TV on Discord together. And then I'm going to see Nick because we haven't seen each other in a hot minute. Because he was really busy this week and I was really busy this week, and so we didn't get to have a date night like we usually do, so we're meeting up tomorrow to have date night.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to go get out to the garden this evening too, so I'm probably going to do that after I make my appearance at the party. That's fun. I haven't gotten to be in the garden either. What about you? What you gonna do?
I don't know. Ryan and I will probably go grab breakfast tomorrow, and then I'll do some stuff for my chapter two for my dissertation, and it's not due until Tuesday, so I have tomorrow, Monday, and then all day Tuesday to work on it. So, well, not all day, obviously, because I work Monday and Tuesday. We have new high orientation, which, I'm so tired of doing new high orientation. It's insane. Like, I hate it. I just hate talking. I don't actually hate talking to people. It's so repetitive and it's so annoying that I have to do it. And there's so many other things I would rather work on that could be more interesting and more fun. And the fact that I have to continue working on new high orientation is just
frustrating.
It's frustrating and boring. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I'm going to probably continue watching Medium. We just watched last night, Ryan and I watched RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 10. I was very frustrated with who is moving. So this season is very weird, where it's the tournament of All-Stars and they're doing it in brackets. And I hate the way that RuPaul says tournament, because he says tournament and it makes me want to punch someone in the face.
Okay. Note to self.
That's not the way that the word is said. It's tournament. And it drives me nuts when people say tournament. That's not the word. But anyways. Okay. So the way that it's happening this season is there were three brackets of six Drag Race girls. And the first and second bracket had ended. And this past week on Friday was the last week of the third bracket, the last bracket. And it's the top three. So every week, the top two All-Stars get 2 points. And then whoever wins the lip sync off, or the lip sync for your life, or whatever it is, the lip sync off at the end, whoever wins gets an additional point and $10,000. And whoever has the most points, so that's the top two, and then the bottom four, each of them get 1 point, but they have to give that point away to someone else. So the way that this group has done it, basically for the first week, all the bottom four girls got a point. And then last week, two of the bottom four girls got a point. And then one of them got 2 points. So she was like third, but she didn't deserve to be third because I didn't think she was doing as good as the other girls because she wasn't, and she was in the bottom and she really didn't do that well. And she should have been in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were sending people home, I would say she probably should have gone home. But what happened this week was the top two. So it was Ginger Minj and Diabetti, which I was totally fine with. And I think they did a good job the entire 3 weeks that they did their bracket. And then the bottom four was Alyssa Hunter, which don't really know much about her. Acid Betty, which I love Acid Betty, but she didn't do that good this bracket. And then Denali, which I love Denali. She did amazing. And then it was Cynthia Lee Fontaine. And I thought that it would have been Ginger Minj, Diabetti, and Denali would be the ones that should be moving forward, because Denali just won last week. Ginger has been in the top their entire bracket. She was in the top last week and the week before, and she was just in the top this week. But Cynthia Lee Fontaine, who should have been in the bottom every week because she didn't do very good, and this week especially she did terribly, and her runway look was horrible because it was just basically, you know, those like paper paper decorations where you like unfold it and it's like a circle or it's like a fan or something like that. It's just like that, yeah. that crepey paper material. Yeah. She was wearing those all around her waist from a ribbon. And then she had this giant like crepe paper thing around the top of her body. And then she just had like a jumpsuit underneath.
Okay.
And I can kind of understand the runway theme was paper doll. But. And she just used paper, but it was so bad. And her acting has been so bad, and she did terrible in the challenge. And I was like, she's the one that's moving forward and Denali's not. That seems completely unfair to me and makes no sense. But it's not my show, and I'll continue watching it because I enjoy the show. And I think personally, I want either Ginger Minj to win, which is very controversial because everybody hates that Ginger is back. And I'm like, I love Ginger. She does an amazing job. She can sing. She's funny. She can act. She's nice. So I don't understand why everyone is having such a hard time and annoyed that she's been. This is the fourth time she's done it. It's like she was asked to come back. She's not going to say no.
Right.
Why would she?
Why would she? Like, come on now.
And then everybody's like butthurt about last week that Denali didn't win the challenge or didn't win the lip sync off. And Ginger did because Denali was doing all these flips and tricks and dancing. And Ginger was doing what Ginger does, where she was doing like funny like moves and she wasn't flipping and doing tricks because that's not what Ginger does.
Right.
It was like Ginger was being funny. The judges liked the funny. I'm not saying that Denali didn't do a great job. I'm just saying Ginger was what they liked. I think they both did an amazing job. I preferred Ginger's because I prefer that type of drag. And I'm kind of sick of this whole flip, dip, splits crap. I'm like, there's a time and place for it. And right. it's not every fucking week. I'm over it.
It's. At that point, it's essentially like, just admit that you're a one-trick pony.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say Denali's a one-trick pony because she's very talented too, but.
No. Like, I mean, I wasn't talking about her specifically, yeah. But like the queens that's literally all that they do.
Yeah.
Is the flips and the splits and the whatnot, the duck walk, which like, I mean, yeah, that's totally fine. And I'm totally here for it. But like you said, you know, sometimes you just want a little something else.
Yeah, I would say it has been interesting how little, like, you would think that they know that these episodes are going to be coming out around Pride time. And Drag Race, you would think Drag Race would have more information and more, like, more discussions about Pride and what it is and all that. And
right, like how integral it is.
Yeah, and the queens in the room do have like conversations about their background and all that. More so on the regular season than on All Stars.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's just interesting how little I've been seeing stuff about Pride, and I'm kind of annoyed because on our website for work. They've changed out, because it's the end of the month, obviously, they've changed out their, like, highlight on Pride events that have been happening. It's kind of frustrating, because it's like, it's not over yet. And I get right. that the information that's on there is also important, but I don't feel like this year they've done as much to
as
highlight.
They have in past years.
Yeah, to highlight what's Pride events have been going on in the past years. But that's just me.
I feel like you mentioned it less than you have in previous years.
I think this year it's also possibly because I did less this year because I was in Indiana for 2 weeks of it.
Right.
And last year I was here doing stuff for it basically every week.
Right. I don't know.
Well, is there anything else you would like to discuss, or would you like to call it a podcast for this week?
Yeah, I think I'm ready to call it a podcast.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, comment, don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you would, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, as it's to help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere is at Now About That Pod, so we don't come up in the search, then we're not on that platform. And if there's something you would like us to discuss, our email address is at nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. You can also reach us on our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail and send us a text message. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you have a great week, since this will be coming out on Monday, and hopefully you enjoyed your Pride Month, however you celebrated. Same thing to you, Sarah.
You as well.
And Sarah, have a good rest of your weekend.
You too.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.